Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron, and I'm able to join us today.
Obviously, we need some, okay. And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're discussing amongst ourselves how to find the right medical provider.
We should also discuss the mechanics of, shall we say, firing?
Sure.
Yeah. Your current physician. I'm sure that many of our listeners never considered that to be an option. What are some of the signs that your healthcare team may not be the right fit for you?
Well, I would say I would you definitely need a physician who doesn't rush an appointment. You should be feel comfortable asking questions. You should make sure that everything's clearly explained to you and that your doctor actually has time to see you. Also, like, is your doctor or your other healthcare provider, do they always run late? They're chronically late, especially more than 30 minutes or so, that could be a sign that, you know, their practice is overwhelmed. And is it extremely difficult to get a timely appointment? That could be another sign that they're overwhelmed, maybe have too many patients for that practice. Also, if you can never see your doctor, so when you go in for an appointment, you're always seeing the PA or the nurse, that could be another sign. You know, it's time to find someone who has more time for their patients. If you feel judged, if you go into your doctor's office, I would say, and you don't feel comfortable opening up, you feel like if you say something that they're going to be judging you, that would be another concern. And because you want to be able to open up, you want to be able to feel comfortable, sharing whatever information, because that's going to improve your chances of getting the correct diagnosis. And if you just don't have, you don't see eye to eye, you don't have the same basic belief system, that can also be problematic. And if there's any language barriers, if you're, your physician doesn't habla español and you need someone that can habla español, that could be a concern because you want to make sure that there isn't anything getting lost in translation, quite literally.
Right.
Right. So what are some of the steps that people can take to find the correct healthcare provider?
Right. The right one for them. I would say you want to start by finding your primary healthcare provider. So your primary physician.
Well, I know that there are doctors or doctors of medicine, like osteopathic, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners. When you're looking for a doctor, how do you find the right one? How do they differ? How do they provide care? Is there a difference in them?
Well, here in the United States, doctors are either an MD, which is an allopathic doctor, or a DO, which is a osteopathic doctor.
I'm sure you're going to explain that one.
I certainly am.
Good. I'm lost already.
A doctor of osteopathic medicine is a fully trained and licensed doctor who has attended and graduated from an osteopathic medical school. DOs receive special training in the musculoskeletal system, which is your body's interconnected system of nerves, muscles, and bones.
Okay.
The doctor of osteopathic medicine tends to view the patient more holistically to reach a diagnosis rather than just treating symptoms alone.
Oh, okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
I like that. A doctor of medicine, an MD, has attended and graduated from a conventional medical school, and they study allopathic medicine, which is the classical form of medicine, and they tend to focus more on diagnosing and treating human diseases.
Okay.
Then there's also a nurse practitioner. A lot of times you'll hear people say an NP.
Right.
This is an advanced practice registered nurse. A nurse practitioner is trained to assess patient needs, order and interpret diagnostic and lab tests, diagnose illness and disease, and also prescribe medication and formulate treatment plans for the consumer.
Wow.
Yeah, and typically a physician assistant or PA, as a lot of people will say, is a professional who practices medicine in collaboration or under indirect supervision of a physician. PAs typically take on some roles traditionally taken on by physicians, including making diagnoses and also prescribing medications.
Right. And I know when I'm looking for a primary health provider, I like an integration of all of those specialties in one office. So if there are partners in, are, come from all those different areas, then you get a more holistic and comprehensive treatment. Also, there are just so many medical specialties out there.
Yeah.
What medical specialty would you guys say makes a good primary health care provider?
Well, you may want a primary health care provider that has board certification in family medicine or pediatrics, if you have young children, internal medicine, OBGYN, or a geriatrician for people that have elderly in their homes.
Elderly in their homes? It sounds like an infestation.
It is.
For
it
those
is.
Of our listeners who are more advanced in age.
Okay. Yes, okay.
All right. Now, I'm a bit confused. Maybe you guys can clear this up. What does the primary care or PCP provider, what do they do?
Well, your primary care provider typically conducts your annual physical exam, monitors things like your blood pressure, your height, your weight, your body mass index, and they will also ensure that you receive your needed immunizations every year. They will screen you for and treat common health care conditions, like if you know you have the cold or the flu, things of that nature. In addition, your primary health care provider may also supply healthy lifestyle coaching, just so that you maintain your healthy lifestyle.
Okay. And how do you recommend that we start looking for a primary care provider? On Yelp and look for reviews, or Google?
Well, I will tell you.
Okay.
You may want to start with your insurance company.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If it's not covered by your insurance, then you're going to be paying out of pocket.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, everything's online, so you can take a look. Your healthcare insurance company, Your insurance company can provide you with a list of local healthcare providers that accept your medical insurance, or you may want to start a search on your own or with local or maybe a preferred hospital.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. They should have information about healthcare providers that are affiliated with that particular hospital.
Okay.
And how do we find out if our healthcare provider is board certified or has been sued for malpractice or received disciplinary action against them?
Well, reviews and red flags, such as disciplinary action for substance abuse, and yes, that unfortunately does happen, can be found online. Sometimes your state will provide information, and you can find out if they're board, if the individual is board certified from there, or you can go online to the, like a pediatric association and find out more information about your healthcare provider there as well.
Can I ask you something? What is board certified?
That means that they have taken examinations and pay their annual dues. And then the person is also keeping up with the latest medical information. So they're taking
extra classes.
Yes, they're taking course credits every year, whether it be, be it at a convention or a conference or online or the like, to make sure that they're keeping up with the latest information.
Yeah, I've always wondered, is it better to get a brand new doctor out of the school that has all the latest and greatest, or is it better to have an old doctor that has seen it all already and maybe has some experience from the past that the new doctor doesn't?
Well, maybe that's, I think, why they have residency, so that the new doctors are learning from the established physicians and healthcare providers. But then also, I think it's just as important that they can explain things to you in a way that you understand.
Yeah, that's true.
And that they're taking the time and they're not overwhelmed and they're not taking on too many patients for their practice. And it is unfortunate that doctors, they're going to medical school to learn how to treat a person, but then they're also having to run a business.
Okay.
Which I think is it's an added challenge. So they, you might also need an office that knows how to handle billing.
Oh, I see what
you're saying. Because if they're unfamiliar with billing and they don't have a good billing company, then those bills are coming to you. That can be certainly problematic and add up quickly. Also, do they have a good referral group? Do they have an individual that actually can refer you to, certain subspecialties that you may need? And do they have a good network of physicians that they trust and can rely on to provide their patients with the needed care?
I wonder if doctors get that kind of training in school as far as like how to run your business as well as how to...
I don't think so. Yeah. And it's interesting you say that. My window closed. I was going to throw a joke in there, but okay. The window closed. But in all seriousness, I think what happens, and I see a lot of this, and even my own doctor, mm-hmm. he had his own practice, and mm-hmm. now it was bought out by one of the big providers.
Kind of conglomerates, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they're allotted so much time to see a patient. And, you know, they've got basically meet a quota. Mm-hmm. So unless you've got something earth shattering, you're in for X amount of minutes and you're out the door. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think even though it can be problematic, in integrating technology can, when used correctly and used in the correct, you know, format, can help with care. Because if you can go online before your appointment and answer a very lengthy questionnaire, you can cover topics that you may not think of bringing up to your physician, or that your physician may, right. you know, miss because of the time allotted. So that can help, you know, improve the quality of care that you receive if you can go ahead and take the time to, you know, do that before an appointment. And then also just keeping track of your signs and symptoms. Like, I use an app on my phone, so I can track how I'm feeling emotionally. But then also, you know, like, is there swelling in my ankle? And it's really quick and it's easy to use. But then when my doctor says, you know, like, how many migraines have you had in a month? Just thinking back at that moment, I'm not going to be able to recall.
Right.
But I can actually pull up that app. And not only is it telling me how many migraines I've had in that week, that month, but also it's graphing it compared to past years, past months, so they can get a better overall picture. And that's something that I have to do on my own. But that helps me receive a better quality of care.
Sure.
And there are many different applications, and you can just use, you know, a calendar or anything, but whatever works for you to help give your healthcare provider a better overall picture of your health.
But technology can also work against you.
I know.
Like I actually fired a psychiatrist that I had because his idea of treatment was just that. Just he handed me a laptop or a tablet when mm-hmm. I was in the waiting room,
right?
And I had to answer questions,
mm-hmm.
and I would answer the questions, and then he would review them, and I'd walk into his office, and he'd say, "Okay, you're doing the same," or "Okay, you're doing a little better. I'll see you next week." I'm like, "What the hell is that?"
Well, right. So
yeah, absolutely.
It has its place, certainly, and I think it can improve our overall care, but it doesn't. It's not a supplement. For that time, you need to speak with your doctor.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Right.
It's
not supposed to.
It's,
yes.
A
not
person.
Supposed to replace it. Right.
Well,
right.
Another thing that happens sometimes is you'll get a doctor who comes into your room and you never see their face because they're always buried in the computer.
Right.
They ask you questions, you answer, and they're typing their answers in.
Right. Right.
And they never even see your face.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty impressed with people like my doctor, my GP. Mm-hmm. She talks to me and she looks at
right.
me and
mm-hmm.
she's absolutely involved in me,
mm-hmm.
but she's typing and she doesn't have to look at her screen. I'm not
right.
that kind of a typist.
Or, you know, I've had...
But she is absolutely engaged with me as she's taking notes, and
mm-hmm.
she's taking notes so that she doesn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that with her.
Right.
The
and
one thing my doctor does is he has, and I'm assuming it's the physician assistant,
mm-hmm.
in there.
Right, taking
notes. And she's
notes.
Taking the
yes.
notes while he's talking
mm-hmm.
with me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, it's great. Technology can be wonderful to get mm-hmm. all this information, but it also can inhibit your relationship because
sure.
sometimes they're too involved in getting the notes down
right.
rather than talking to you as a person.
Right. But that, again, goes into the business side of things
right.
where they have to have those notes to substantiate why they're billing, who they're billing, and for what.
Sure.
So,
I think it's suffice to say that healthcare has changed since we were younger.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh.
Well, I think that we're going to touch on something that we didn't put in here, but Amwell. And I'm sure there's other things besides Amwell.
So, telemedicine.
Telemedicine, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think telemedicine also has a place in here.
Mm-hmm.
And some people may not even be aware that this exists, but you can bring up a doctor. You've never seen this doctor.
Or you could. It could be somebody, like, for example, the group that I go to
uh-huh.
has a telemedicine option.
Okay.
So you can go to their website and go through a portal, and basically you schedule an appointment, but you're having your appointment in your own home via your cell phone or other wireless device or other computer.
Like Skype or something.
Right. Well, it's actually a video. They actually can see you.
Right.
And you can see them. But it is so that, you, like, for example,
so when it's like FaceTime.
Right. When I had the flu.
Yep.
The flu is typically not something that you need to go to a hospital for. But I also didn't want to go into my doctor's office and, you know, possibly infect others. So it was, for me, the best option was to use telemedicine. And that worked out quite well for me.
Right. And I think telemedicine definitely has a place for a lot of patients that didn't realize it was out there.
And other technology, such as wearable devices. So you can have a device that, you know, measures how many steps you're taking. So your doctor can also, because they, if you know, they ask you, how active are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's very hard, I think, to get an accurate portrayal of how active you are. But if your physician can actually look and say, you know, this person was doing so many steps in the past year, but lately, you know, that's decreased or that's increased or what have you, that can help facilitate, you know, your care as well. Then there's wearable monitors for people with diabetes. There's blood pressure cuffs that you can utilize, and pulse oximeters that will automatically record information on your device so that you can take that information and provide it to your physician. And it gives you a more accurate and overall portrayal of how you're doing. And I think that's absolutely amazing. And glucose monitors too. So there's just a wide range of things out there. There's even EKGs for wireless devices.
And
so,
a lot of this stuff, you could probably talk to your provider about
find out
how
to
get that.
For you. Right.
But
absolutely.
Getting back to like the whole thing with the healthcare providers, what are some of the things that we should take into consideration when we're actually trying to find, say, our PCP?
Sure. Well, you may want to review the office policy regarding appointment scheduling. If you're not, you know, like how much of a window do you have? If you're 5 minutes late because you got stuck by a train, are they going to cancel that appointment? And then also, what's their cancellation policy? Are you going to be charged if you can't make it to your appointment? And then does your primary healthcare provider work with a group? So if they, let's say that they're not available, do they have someone else in the office that's available if you need to see someone right away? Also, do they have someone on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that if you do need to just, it's the middle of the night, but you have a question, you don't want to use emergency services, that can be a great thing as well. And then what's it like when you have to, you know, like working with the office staff? Again, it's a business thing,
right?
But is it easy to call and get an appointment? Do they, you know, properly bill things? Especially if you have more than one insurance, that can be, you know, challenging and something that they have to deal with. And then do they have a referral process in place? And is it easy to get a referral from them?
For a specialist,
right.
Okay.
Well, those are all really important things for a person to take into account when they're looking and finding a new doctor, and especially if you need to move on from the one that you're not satisfied with.
Right. And I would say, you know, like if you aren't comfortable with your physician or healthcare provider, there are many more out there. So it's definitely worth taking the time to find somebody you feel comfortable with. And in many cases, I know I've set up an initial appointment and I walk in there and they say, well, what are you here for? And I said, I just want to get to know a little bit more about you and to see if we're a good fit before we actually start this. And there's companies like we spoke with, one of the founders of Wellacopia.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And they're trying to make it so that you can learn more about your physician or healthcare provider as a person and what they want to, you know, what their practice is like and what they hope to accomplish so that you can get a more, you know, like a more well-rounded picture rather than just seeing what university they graduated from and whether or not they take your insurance.
Right. Otherwise, you have to go in, make an appointment, or actually choose them.
Yes.
As your provider. Make the appointment, wait to go in to see them, and then after you see them, decide whether or not they're a right fit.
Right. So I think the more information you can get about your that potential new healthcare provider, the better. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that pretty much covers the topic in whole for what we wanted to do today.
Yeah, right. I think so.
And if you do have any questions, you know, hopefully you can address, you know, talk to your healthcare provider and work out any issues that you're having, because maybe there's, you know, they're not aware that they're not explaining things clearly, that they're not taking enough time.
So don't just jump ship. Give them
right,
a chance.
I would say give them a chance. And if things don't work out, then do go out there and get someone that works with you.
Right, right. Especially if you have a complex
yes
problem.
Sometimes you need a gatekeeper physician, and that's your primary healthcare provider, and they can help keep track of everything right. that your other healthcare providers and service providers are applying.
Okay. Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if there's a topic that you'd like us to cover, or if you'd like to have an interview with us, we're happy to interview you. Yep, please sign up on our website. There's a link there, also on our Instagram and Pinterest page. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. We are not doctors. We do not play them on TV. Always substitute for... Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Until next week.